Welcome to a special audio interview on BullMarketRun.com, Friday evening, April 16th. I'm John Hallstein, editor of Bull Market Run, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector. With me on the line from Toronto, the home of the 1967 Stanley Cup champion Maple Leafs, is Tony Rudenberg, president and CEO of Seafield Resources, a company we started covering when it was just 6 cents last summer. Tony, first off, thank you very much for joining us here this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on BullMarketRun.com for the very first time.
Oh, you're welcome, John, and that was a low blow.
Well, that was just a little bit too hard to resist, Tony, that stab at the Maple Leafs. But anyway, let's start talking about Seafield. The company has had a pretty dramatic run. Looking at the stock here over the past year, it was just a few pennies early last year, and now closing here today at 25 cents. You've made a foray into Colombia. You've got 6,000 hectares down there, 25 concessions in the Quichina district. We know the names of three properties, Dos Quebradas, Miraflores, and Chusquel. We're short on some details, but what would you say is your number one priority exploration target right now at Quichina?
Well, they're each different, but I think the one where we may be able to, and we may be able to talk about a resource the soonest could be the Miraflores property. It's had a fair amount of drilling on it. There is an arm waving type resource outlined, but we really need to plot all those holes before we really could say whether it was 43-101 compliant or whether we need to do a little infill drilling to make it compliant. So I wouldn't want to even talk about the potential number of ounces there, but that looks like a good property. It's currently being worked by some, you know, artisanal miners, and the Chusquel property is similar, although I don't think it's been drilled off as extensively. It's also a small producer owned by the Gutierrez brothers. And the one that we, Dos Quebradas, the one that we have from Anglo, has, you know, let's say less work, but you could also say more blue sky, depending on your viewpoint. So, and they're all kind of connected in the same package. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there. You know, literally you can spend, $10 or $20 million on the three.
Now, some exploration work has already started at Quichina that began in mid-March. Can you update us on the status of that, and when will Seafield's drills start turning down there?
It's been a little bit of a moving target, but there's surface mapping and sampling going on right now in preparation for a drill program, which we hope would start next month, say before, you know, I mean, sooner rather than later. We have extremely good and seasoned, experienced operating people in Colombia, based out of Medellin. Ian Park is you know, he's lived there. He lives there now roughly, you know, 4, 5, 6 months of the year, and he's been working in Colombia and Central America for, I'm guessing, 25, 30 years. I remember Ian when he was, you know, back when I was a young broker, and that was the late 80s, early 90s. So lots of experience, you know, in terms of boots on the ground there, and Stuart Redwood's the same. So there won't be a problem getting equipment. There won't be a problem getting work done. It's just investing a little bit of time in making sure that you're setting up your targets properly.
Absolutely. Now, what are the chances of Seafield further expanding its presence in Colombia, not just in the area where you're in now, Quichina, which is about, you know, maybe less than 10 miles or so from Marmato, but elsewhere in Colombia?
We have been shown some things that, you know, in Colombia, you know, copper and gold, that are not in the Quichina district. At the board level, we haven't decided to do something other than gold. The Quichina play is a big play, that's where, you know, the financial backers that have come to play, you know, that's where they want their money deployed. But having said that, we are, you know, there are a couple of interesting things floating around. you have to be careful that you don't dilute your message from, you know, what you raised the money for and then switching horses. For instance, there's some interesting copper properties, but would the people that invested in the gold properties be disappointed if you went down that road type of thing? So I wouldn't rule out, you know, other gold properties in Colombia or perhaps anywhere in the Americas, but right now our focus really is Quinchilla, because of the scale of the thing. I mean, there's plenty of work to do there to take you for a couple of years.
Yeah, that should keep you busy. Doing business down there, Tony, requires obviously certain expertise in this regard. What advantages does Seafield have that will allow it to be successful in that country? I know you've talked about Ian Park. He's got a lot of experience down there. So obviously that's one major asset for you. What else have you got going for you down there?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Jim, my partner Jim Peary, who's a geologist, he and I wouldn't have taken Seafield down there if it was just a hot looking property without the boots on the ground, if you like. And so that really is your bread and butter. This is a business of you know, you don't employ 50 people in this business. This is a business where there's just a couple of guys, and you bring in drillers, you bring in geos, you work with consultants for the most part. And so it's all about relationships. If you go into a country and you don't have relationships, even though you've got a good property, if you don't know the locals, if you don't speak the language, you know, those kinds of things can really be setbacks for you. So, you know, I really think Ian and Stuart are what give us the ability to feel comfortable and confident that, you know, these are not only are these good properties, but, you know, back here in Toronto, we have to raise the money. Whether the money will be well spent, you know, and so we do have pretty good fundraising capabilities here, and we've got, you know, some of the best guys in the business down there to spend the money. So, you know, it's hopefully a good working partnership, and it has been so far.
The recent weakness in the share price, Tony, since a nice move at the end of February, early March, do you have any explanation for that? Do you think it's just a paper issue from last year's financings? I know there was one in December that became free trading. Is that basically the main issue right now in terms of the current weakness we've seen in the stock?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on trading, but I can say that that a lot of shares have been, you know, a lot of financing has been done to sort of resuscitate this company, as you mentioned near the outset. The stock was just a couple of pennies. I think if you go back to December 2008 into January 2009, etc., you know, you're talking about a stock that was kind of 2 cents bid, and maybe had $100,000 to $150,000 left in the treasury. So, you know, we had to issue shares to survive, and in order to attract capital, and you're giving shares and warrants and at 4 cents and another round at 12 cents. So I think it really is just a paper, supply of paper issue, and we have always had pretty good volume since we made this move to Colombia, and we've chewed through a lot of paper, and just this past Monday, I think it was Monday, another 5.5 million shares, the final tranche of those financings, became freely tradable. And so I expect that some of those folks were sellers, as you would be. I mean, you've got more than a double there, and you still have a warrant to ride. So, you know, we don't begrudge people a profit. But, you know, we handled the 12 million at 4 and the 12 million at 12.5 and a whole bunch of warrants at 10. So we've taken care of 40 or 50 million shares of supply. So I don't think this last couple of million is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And I think, you know, coincidentally, that'll get sort of handled here in terms of whether they're selling it at 23 or 28, it doesn't really matter, but it'll definitely be cleared up by the time we start drilling, which might be just a healthy thing.
Yeah, and the stock does have a lot of technical and fundamental strength right now. You got quite a bit of cash in the bank, and you know, a lot of support around current levels on the stock, and you know, looking at the blue sky potential here, you've seen what some other companies have done in Colombia. The blue sky potential here is pretty enormous.
Well, the sheer fact that the you know, with 80 million shares out, that the stock trades good volume, and you know, it tells you that there's serious money, you know, involved in the company, and there's some institutions.
Are you looking to raise more money in the near future, Tony? Is another financing under consideration, or will you have enough coming in from the exercise of warrants?
We had a pretty steady stream of the 10-cent warrants come in, and although there were only 12, so that only raises you $1.2 million, and they haven't all been exercised. But you know, I think we'll keep an eye on financing opportunities. If we start to drill and the shares start to move, we may get a good quantity of these 16-cent warrants brought in, and so. We're not under any immediate pressure to raise money. I think if conditions were right, you know, we would. We, you know, as I said, there is a ton of work to do on these properties, so we're not going to get to the end of our work without doing a financing at some point, whether it's right now or later.
Now, on the drilling, what would you say is your first target on the drilling?
The first property that we will drill is the one that we recently announced that we picked up from Anglo, and that's the one that they're doing the surface work on right now. It is the one that we know the least about, but you know, I think when we start doing infill drilling on Miraflores, it'll be lower risk type drilling, but perhaps this earlier stuff will be more exciting if we get some joy.
Yeah. You have a couple of other quality projects, the Pacasio silver-gold property in Mexico, the Elora gold property in Ontario. How soon will you be able to do any work on those properties?
We are just sending somebody down to have a geologist down to have a closer look at Pacasio. We have the option to buy the balance of that from Yamana Gold for some Seafield stock, and it's not very much. It's, I think, 1.5 million shares. We own 30%, they own 70%, but it's a good property, and it's had a couple $1 million spent on it, and it's got some tremendous results, including sort of 5 kilos per ton silver and some of the surface sampling. And the Elora property, you know, we've drilled that one ourselves, Jim and I, before this Columbia foray, and we've pulled a lot of holes. It's narrow vein, high grade stuff, and we've had hits of half ounce, you know, to an ounce kind of material over a meter, 1 to 2 meters, and there's lots of that there. There's a company working in that camp right now called Manitou Gold, and I see they put out some surface sampling results that look pretty good. So, you know, I think we own that property outright, and they're patented claims, so we're under no pressure to work on it, and I think the smartest move for us right now would be to sit back and hope that Manitou lights up the whole camp, and then, you know, all of a sudden that property is going to have some real value, which you know, we may look at taking Pacasio and Elora and doing some sort of a spin out or something, and focusing, leaving Seafield focused strictly on Columbia. But that's still early days in terms of it's a notion that we've talked about at the board level. We haven't really made the determination yet.
Okay, Tony, we're just having to wrap up now, and we appreciate the time that we've had with you here tonight. Any last comments here on Seafield for our listeners at bullmarketrun.com?
You know, for people that want action, they want risk reward, they want drills turning, and you know, Seafield is the play. It's a liquid stock, and you know, I think that you know, for speculative money, people that want to that like to trade juniors that are drilling, especially in exciting places, you know, Seafield offers that for anybody who wants to play that.
Well, we're looking forward to what happens here in the next few months as you get the drilling going there in Columbia, Tony. So we thank you very much for joining us here this evening on bullmarketrun.com. We'd love to have you back in the near future as things continue to develop with Seafield Resources, as well as Greencastle and Avaranta. So thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special audio interview with Tony Rudenberg, President and CEO of Seafield Resources, on bullmarketrun.com, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.